Many of you have probably heard the statement that's behind me or seen some adaptation for it. One example that always comes to my mind when I hear the statement ignorance is bliss is I think of a cartoon situation where you have the main character who's going about his daily activities and the antagonist keeps trying to get him, but every time he does something he might make a broom fall over and it hits the guy who's trying to attack him, or maybe a door shuts in his face or something along those lines, and we think, oh, that's funny because he has no idea what's going on, but he's just still not able to get to him. And in our day and age, we hear this statement go around, or we hear people who might use a different twist of it. Maybe they say, well, I just try to stay out of those things. Or, you know, it just kind of bothers me to hear about that, so I'm just not going to talk about it. Or I just kind of want to ignore these problems because it makes me feel better. You can see on the statement behind me, there's a question mark that's put there, because is that really true? Is ignorance really bliss, or are there unknown consequences? How am I going to approach this? How am I going to face this idea of ignorance? Am I going to embrace it and say, oh yes, this is a good and comfortable thing, or is this going to be a problem? And so this morning we're going to be delving into this subject of ignorance and what ignorance actually does. And our first point this morning is ignorance destroys. Ignorance destroys. Man has faced many consequences for what we don't know. Whether that be we try a new medicine and we find out years later that it has some very serious consequences, or whether we try building materials. I mean, many years ago, asbestos was a wonderful tool for us in every situation. In fact, people used to, in World War II, tanks used to be filled with asbestos for insulation. It was a common household item. Now we know that it has very serious health consequences. In Genesis chapter 12, we read of an example where Abraham was traveling abroad, and there's another example of this as well later on in the book of Genesis, but we see how Abraham lies to the leader of that area, and what does he say? He says that Sarah, my wife, is actually my sister. It was a lie. He lied to the leader, and the leader takes this woman into his own home, and what does God tell him? There's going to be consequences for this. And that leader, he goes before God, he says, well, I did this out of a good conscience. I didn't mean to do this. But regardless, if that wasn't changed, the consequences were still coming. It wasn't a matter of God saying, oh, of course you didn't know. Oh, well, my bad. No, sin has consequences in all situations. Sin will always have consequences. But it doesn't just depend on what I know about. That's why it's so important that as Christians, we try to know who our God is. Because one of the most heartbreaking thoughts is to go before God on the day of judgment and think we did everything right. Think that we followed Him the way that He told us to, but maybe we were just following the teachings of men instead of the teachings of God. Maybe we're standing before the Almighty God on the day of judgment and we say, Lord, I'm ready to come home. And He says, who are you? You're not one of mine. You're not one of the people that I said was going to be saved. How is that? Through my church. You didn't listen to what I said. You didn't listen to the plan that I laid out. You tried to do your own way. See, ignorance is a dangerous, dangerous thing. God's people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We just read that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 and 7 in particular. And really the entire chapter of Hosea chapter 4 is God speaking through the prophet Hosea to this nation. And He's saying, you're in trouble. This is a scathing pronouncement of judgment on Israel. He says, my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Think about that for a moment. We tend to think that God destroys nations purely for what they do wrong. Purely for the things that they are going out. Well, you say, Israel was going out and they were sacrificing the children. And God did address that statement in Hosea chapter 4. He addressed their idolatry. But it wasn't, He didn't say Israel was destroyed purely for that. He said, it wasn't just for the fact that you've rejected me. No. You are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, that sounds odd to us. We say, well, In our society, we try to protect those who are ignorant. We try to say, well, they're a little bit dangerous to themselves. We want to help them along. You know, if you don't know how the roads work, we don't want you behind the wheel of a car. But God is saying this is detrimental. Because if you don't know me, if you don't know my word, you cannot obey it. You can't follow after me if you don't know what it is. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So we understand that that is how we develop this faith in God. This is how we develop an obedience to God, is by knowing what the law is. If I'm going down the interstate here on I-40 and I'm going 95 miles an hour, a cop pulls me over and say, well, I didn't know what the speed limit was. I didn't know that you couldn't drive 95 miles an hour on I-40. What's that police officer going to say? He's going to say, okay, pay attention to the roads next time, and here's your ticket. There's still consequences for that action, regardless of whether the fact that I knew what the speed limit was or not. And friends, sin is the same way. Obedience to God or a rejection of God is the same way. God gave us His word, and we say, Lord, I didn't know what you wanted me to do. He said, why not? I gave you my word. I gave you preachers. I gave you teachers. I gave you Christians. Why didn't you know? Why didn't you try to obey me? One of the common arguments we hear against God is we say, well, I can't follow a God who's going to send people who just didn't know to hell. We can have arguments back and forth and debates all the time about how God feels about those who don't have physical access to the Word. But the people who are making those arguments almost never are in that category. Because to make that argument means you have to know about the Word of God, know it exists. Friends, we live in a society right now that is saturated by the Bible. And it is just as ungodly as one who doesn't. One who has never received the Word of God is just as ungodly. Access is not the problem. Obedience is the problem. Access is not the problem. Pride is the problem. Friends, we can come up with many different instances on what the problem is, but ignorance should not be one of them. We have churches all across our country where we are free to study, to worship, to praise God, to talk to one another, to talk to people who even hate the Word of God. And ignorance is rampant. Ignorance is rampant all across this country, but it's especially rampant in churches. Why is that, you think? Because most people's religion happens on Sunday morning and nothing else. Most people's knowledge of God comes from Bible class and worship service, and that's it. Friends, that's not enough. That's not enough. Ignorance can destroy even nations. The church is taught to study and to be sure, to be steadfast in what we do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Looking at what God gave us, studying what was laid out before us, and then committing that to our lives. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Paul went to the city of Berea, and he said that these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Why? They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I appreciate it when people say they trust me in the pulpit. But if you take what I say alone at face value without studying it for yourselves, friends, that's a mistake. That's a problem. It doesn't matter who gets up here, how long they've been preaching, they can still make mistakes. They can still falter. They can still misunderstand something. Friends, I don't want you to stake your salvation and your future off of what I say in the pulpit alone. I'll do my best to teach you. I'll do my best to tell you what I know from the Word of God, but it's your responsibility to make sure you save yourself. That's the way that this operates. See, we understand that in the book of John, even Jesus himself said that the words that he has spoken, the same shall judge us in the last day. We have to study those things. We have to pay attention to those things. And when we talked about Acts chapter 17, when the people were studying in Berea, what were they studying? They didn't have the New Testament laid out before them that we can look to and say, okay, these are all the words of Jesus. These are the words of the apostles. No, they were studying what was said based on the Old Testament. They were saying these were the prophecies that were foretold. This is the Messiah that was supposed to come. He's fitting all of the descriptions here. He's everything that he said he was. But ignorance does more than just destroy. It's more than just a destructive characteristic. Ignorance also deceives. It deceives. That's one of those pictures that needs no explanation whatsoever. We all know what that is. That's a passage that has probably been encapsulated in all society, and people even use it without knowing where it comes from. Oh, you're just a wolf in sheep's clothing. Deceitful. Dangerous with the appearance of harmless. Destructive while looking simple. Friends, is that not what sin is as a whole? It looks harmless. Oh, it's not going to do me any harm. It's not going to hurt anybody else. But what is it at its core? When we pull away the wonderful PR that's been done for sin, what does it look like? When we take away the commercial for the alcohol, what does it look like when the individual is hanging over a toilet? When we take away the wonderful images that we've given to everything, what does the car accident look like? Friends, sin, when the wool is pulled off, is just as ugly as God sees it. We're the ones who muddy the waters. We're the ones who try to make it look a little bit better. Most of the time because of ignorance. If we do not stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You've heard that statement probably 100 times. If I don't know what I stand for, if I don't focus on the Word of God, if I don't know what God expects of me, friends, I will fall for every trap the devil lays out for me. If I don't know who my Lord is and what He did, I will fall for the lies that the world tells me. There's people today who try to convince you that Jesus was a Muslim. That everything he taught coincides with Islam and the Quran. He's held as a prophet in that religion. He's held as an important person. He's just not the Messiah. He's not God, but that's not the only group that does that. There are those who claim to be Christian, those who claim to follow after Christianity, and they still claim the same thing. We can go back to the first century and we see people who departed from what God had said from the very beginning. We don't have to go to the second century and look at church fathers who made mistakes. We don't have to go into the fourth century, fifth century. We don't have to look at the Catholic Church or anything throughout church history to come up with people who messed it up. Friends, we can go to Galatians. We can go to Corinthians and we can find people who took the Word of God and abused it from day one. Ignorance deceives. Ignorance tells us it's okay when it's really not. Ignorance tells us, oh, you're just worried about nothing. When the reality is the world is falling apart. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. It's Matthew chapter 15. Specifically, we're going to be starting in verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Here Jesus is speaking. And notice this statement and read it carefully. And we're going to start, actually we'll start in verse 7 here. He starts with one word. Hypocrites, with an exclamation point so you know it's important. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Did you catch that? Did you catch all the deceit that was taking place in that one verse? He says they're outwardly saying, we're Christians, we follow after Christ, we love Jesus. We will sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But our heart is far from Him. A song was mentioned before the Lord's Supper called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And there will be people who will sing that song, and it is a beautiful song with an incredible message. But they will sing that song, they will cry, they will hug their brethren, knowing full well that love was wasted on them. Knowing full well that their heart is so far removed from God that they will never see the benefits of that love. But they will pretend it till the day they die. They will play make-believe with the love of God instead of actually knowing who He was. Instead of committing their lives to who He was. Ignorance is bliss, because ignorance tells me everything's okay. Ignorance tells me I can live however I want and everything's just going to be fine because God loves me so much. Friends, He does love you. He loves you so much He wants you to be with Him for all eternity, but He cannot allow evil to thrive. He cannot allow evil to be in His presence. 1 John chapter 1. This instance in the example is one that's very fascinating to me. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. A prophet of the Lord died for willful ignorance. This prophet was told he was not supposed to stop. He was not supposed to eat with anyone. He had a message that he was delivering. He was to go forward. Another man comes aside and he takes him. He says, oh, I want the prophet to come into my house. I want him to dine with me. And he says, oh, it's okay. I talk to God. It's all right. I'm a prophet too. It's going to be fine. And that prophet of the Lord believed that man. Went into his house, ate with him, got back on the road the next day. And what happened to him? A lion devoured him. We look at that story and we say, well, that seems a little harsh. Friends, if God is not serious about His word, what can He be serious about? If God cannot say something and it be law, the very being who created the breath we breathe, then what can He be serious about? That prophet ignored what God had told him. He knew for a fact, God said, do not stop. Do not dwell with these people. You go forward, you have a job to do, go do it. But instead, he listened to the comforting lie instead of the facts. He listened to what, well, this sounds nice, it would be nice to take a little break. And he faced the consequences for it. Friends, there are people all across our nation filling pulpits and suits and ties and everything else, and they're saying, hey, come into my house. I've talked to God. It's okay. But they don't have the Lord on their side. The message they're teaching is not what God said. And there are people listening to them in droves. There are people falling over themselves to listen to a message that is going to send them farther away from God, not closer to Him. Ignorance deceives. Ignorance deceives in that it brings peace. It doesn't bring peace, but it removes it. It doesn't give us what we want. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, what were the people crying? They said, peace, peace. But what did Jeremiah say? There is no peace. If you want to listen to a depressing book of the Bible, it's Jeremiah. It's a message to people who don't want to hear it, about consequences they don't want to face, a future they don't want to receive, and a minister who doesn't want to deliver the message. It's a heartbreaking book. But it's one that bears repeating. Because friends, we are but one decision away from being just as bad as the audience of Jeremiah. We are one decision away from saying, I don't care what God says. I want X, and that's all there is to it. Ignorance deceives us because it makes us think we can have both God and the world. Ignorance tells us that I can live however I want, and God will just be okay with it. Friends, when have we ever had the right to tell God what He should be okay with? When have we ever had the right to tell God what's good and moral and just? When He's the one that taught it to us, taught us that it existed in the first place. We have no rights to that. What did Solomon say at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, specifically verse 13? Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is literally the whole duty of man. The whole reason we were here. Why? Why, God? Why? Can I not have something more to my life than just being an obedient stooge? God says, I could have made you an obedient stooge. Instead, I wanted you to be a son. I wanted you to be a daughter. I wanted you to love me. I'm your king, yes, but I'm also your father. The one who gave you life, the one who gave you breath, the one who taught you how to live. Is it so much to ask for you to listen to me? Is it so much for me to ask for you to get to know me? But finally, yes, ignorance is destructive. Yes, ignorance does deceive, but ignorance also denies. That statement behind me, that word has brought more people to heartbreak, depression, and everything else than most other ideas combined. Rejection. People who work their whole lives to accomplish something just to have the boss say, you're not getting this job. People who put their whole souls into loving somebody just to have that love thrown out the window. But God faces this on a daily basis because of ignorance. See, we tend to think about when God shuts the door of heaven and says, no, you're not allowed in, we tend to think that we're the only ones who face that loss or that pain. We tend to think, God, how dare you do that to me? And God says, what do you think it's doing to me? How do you think I feel shutting the door on the person that I gave my own son for? How do you think I feel when every day while you were living you said, I want my way instead of you? Rejection hurts not just men. Rejection hurts God as well. Where do you think we get our emotions? Where do you think we get our feelings? We were made in the very image of God. Do you not think that means that our emotions came from Him too? Do you not think that the way we live, the attitude we have toward one another, all of those things come from God? God can feel anger. God can feel hurt. God can feel love. God can feel peace. Just like we can. But ignorance denies access to the very thing that God had in mind from the beginning of the world. Do you not think that God knew when He created Adam and Eve that they were going to reject Him? Do you not think that when He gave them everything He possibly could give them, think about that for a moment, He gave them every physical thing He could have given them not to reject Him. He gave them everything that they needed, but there was something they wanted a little bit more. And from the beginning, He knew there was going to have to be a plan enacted. From the beginning of time, when Adam ate of that fruit, when Eve ate of that fruit, God saw Jesus on the cross. He knew what was coming. He knew the pain that Jesus was going to have to feel. He knew the life of rejection that Jesus was going to face. He saw the souls who would mock him and spit on him, but he also saw some of those people obeying the gospel in Acts chapter 2. He saw some of those same people crying, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children," saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" But ignorance denies access. Ignorance says, "I don't want to know." It is said the two most dangerous statements in the English language is, "I don't know" and "I don't care." Ignorance and apathy. And friends, that cannot be us. Because when I say to God, "I don't know and I don't care," I'm saying what you say doesn't matter. Who you are doesn't matter. I should look to God and I say, "Here am I, send me," just like Isaiah did. What do you want me to do, Lord? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 are some of the most haunting words that we could ever read. What does it say? They go before God and they say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these wonderful things in your name? Lord, we have served you all of our lives." And what does God say in response? "I never knew you." You see, some ignorance is willful. I chose to be here. I chose to ignore the Word of God. I chose to ignore my friends who were trying to teach me. Some ignorance is just that. I just didn't know. But regardless of ignorance, what is going to be our response when we learn the truth? What is my response going to be when I've heard God's message, when I've heard the people that follow Him, what they've told me I need to do? What's my attitude going to be? When they say I'm doing something wrong, what is my attitude? Is my attitude, "How dare you tell me something? How dare you tell me how to live my life? I'm a human being. I can do what I want." Friends, that is a true statement. But it's not a wise one. Yes, I can do what I want, but Solomon wrote, "It's not a man that walks to direct his own steps." When Solomon tried to live his life however he chose to, he said, "It is all vanity and vexation of spirit." Ignorance denies access to salvation, just as it denies access to the church. Do we look at the church as a blessing? Yes, there have been churches all across our world, all throughout history, that have abandoned God, that have corrupted His Word, that have not lived properly, and we should be the first to call that out. This is not some social club that we band together, and if there's a scandal that comes up, we make sure we cover it all up. No, 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 no. Sin is sin, and we call it out where we see it. Yes, there have been churches. Yes, there have been leaders. Yes, there have been preachers that have rejected the Word of God. But the church is still the church. The church is still the one that God set out in Acts chapter 2, the one that was established, the one that all throughout the Bible is read that is coming. It's going to be here, the kingdom that God set from the very beginning of the world. It is here. But ignorance will prevent us from having access to it. Ignorance will prevent us from being near it. Remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, what does he say? "How shall a man believe on whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" I've said before, one of the most heartbreaking songs to hear in a worship setting is "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, "You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You never taught me the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me." Friends, how do you think that's going to feel if we're standing in eternity and we can look in the face of someone we love here on this earth and that's the message they tell us? Those are the words they speak to you and me. knowing full well I had opportunity. I could have said something, but I allowed them to stay in ignorance. But most importantly, ignorance denies access to God Himself. Throughout all of Scripture, God has described His people as a family. Whether He's talking about His children, the people who serve Him, whether He talks about that the church is the bride of Christ, all these examples of a family. Friends, how many families function with ignorance? How many relationships hold together when you don't know the other person? Or most importantly, how many of those relationships last when willful ignorance exists? I know you probably want me to listen to you, but I have better things to do. Ignorance denies. Ignorance separates us from the love of God, from the church of God, from salvation. Is ignorance bliss? Is ignorance comforting? Or is ignorance costly? Only you know your heart this morning. Only you know where you are. The Word of God is plain as day. He's told us the path that's available. He's told us how to be obedient to Him. What will my decision be? Will I choose to follow after God? Will I choose to do what He's told me to do? We read Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Upon hearing that Word, I can believe that He is who He said He was, that His Word is truth, that God is truth. And based upon that belief, I'm willing to repent of all of my past sins, changing my way of life, following a new path, removing ignorance from my life, and I'm saying I'm doing everything I can to learn more about You. And based upon that repentance, I'm willing to confess, Jesus, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's who He said He was. And based upon that confession, we will be thrilled to baptize you into Christ this very morning. Bearing that old man of sin, raised to walk in newness of life, as we read in Romans chapter 8, 1 Peter 3:21. Bearing that old man of sin, all that guilt, all that shame, all that fear, and all that ignorance, and moving towards a new life in Christ. But maybe this morning, maybe you've already done all of those things. You've become a member of the Lord's church, but just as we read in Hosea chapter 4, you've allowed ignorance to fill every aspect of your life, so much so that maybe you didn't even realize you were in the wrong until now. There's no reason to walk out of these doors unsure. God wants you to come home. Just as a loving father, He will embrace you back into the fold. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that's exactly what He promised. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What will your decision be this morning? Will you remain in ignorance? Or will you follow after the great I Am? What will your decision be as we stand and as we sing?